Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 months, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Android8. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 21, 21, recorded today, Monday, August 15th, 2011. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And joining us today is Senior Associate Editor of CNET and host of Dialed In, CNET's cell phone podcast, Nicole Lee.
Woo!
Hello.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Congratulations on turning 21.
Yes, we are
Thank
legal.
You.
Woo.
All right. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, there we go. Cheers.
To the bottom. Yeah.
Ron, cheers. Yep.
Oh,
to
yeah.
You,
okay.
To...
I'm doing a little cocktail.
There you go.
Yeah. What you got there? What is that cocktail?
A little bit of whiskey.
Okay.
A little bit of whiskey. Ooh. And 7-Up.
Well, I'm thinking nice. Slowly but surely all shows on the TWiT network are having liquid episodes.
Liquid episodes.
Liquid Friday on TNT.
This is, you know.
Turning 21 on All About Android.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we're having a little Fire Rock pale ale.
From, seems to be a very fashionable pale ale right now.
It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice for Monday, starting the week, and we're already drinking. Here you go.
No, I think the fact is the big news that's happened today has kind of pushed us to drink. So.
Yeah, we're recording this late on a Monday afternoon, and a lot of you have already heard the news about Google and Motorola sitting in a tree. We're going to get to that in just a second, but we also have other news. Ice cream sandwich, possible leaked photos. We're dropping the beats with HTC, and in the arena, we're going to have a little battle of contact manager apps. But
yeah.
Let's start with the big heavy one. That's why Nicole is here to help us out with this discussion. So I think it's time to start our news.
That's it. All right, well, if you've been living under a rock, then you probably still heard about this. Google drops a bombshell this morning when it announced that it is giving $12.5 billion out to those at Motorola Mobility to acquire it. There are a number of facets that this announcement covers. It was the first thing that I read or even heard of after I opened my eyes, which tells me that I need to stop checking my phone first thing out of bed.
Oh, it was because
I couldn't think straight. Yeah. I couldn't think straight after I read this.
I think that was the consensus everywhere, you know, that I was, I looked posting on Twitter and Google Plus, you know, it was Google buys Motorola? What? And I think we should clarify, not Motorola.
No.
Motorola Mobility.
Yeah, Motorola split into two different segments. Motorola Mobility being their mobile phone initiative. And that's where Google kind of comes into play. And Nicole Lee, we are so happy to have you on today's show because at this point, I feel like I've read so much about this. I'm kind of numb inside. I don't even know where to begin. On this, but
we might want to know.
Well, we might as well start with the patents aspect because that really seems like the big play here. I mean, you know, it could be said that they're buying devices, and you know, Motorola has a very strong kind of cable and set-top box deal going on with the cable industry. But the patents, I mean, Google's been under fire significantly. We've talked about it a lot on this show with patents, and I mean, this is a big deal for them. I mean, especially in comparison with the patents that they weren't able to buy, that they
right,
were
the Nortel
patents that they were pushed out of. How significant do you see this, or is this just kind of like a wait and see type of thing?
No, I do think it's pretty significant, and you mentioned the patent. They're essentially buying the patents, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's essentially what the deal is about. And I'm sure you guys have mentioned this in your other shows, but you know, it's important. I mean, Apple has been filing all these patent lawsuits against all these other manufacturers, and it behooves Google to put all their chips in this deal and be a very strong competitor. And the thing that's very interesting to me also is that they're putting their money behind Motorola, which I don't know. I think that was a news article earlier today that mentioned that Motorola has not been one of the leaders this year. I mean, HTC has been sort of outselling them in the whole Android phone market. So it's a little bit interesting that they chose Motorola, but it's because Motorola has all of these patents going for them. And, you know, hopefully this means better phones out of both Google and Motorola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Motorola itself, from what I read earlier, 17,000 patents as part of this deal, as well as an extra 7,500 pending patents. And I mean, before this, what Google had in the hundreds as far as mobile patents are concerned. So, I mean, automatically, this takes them from pretty much nothing to, I think, third player as far as the major manufacturers and the number of patents that they carry. I guess it just remains to be seen how powerful those particular patents are in helping them to do things like, you know, kind of fight the battle for the other manufacturers that happen to be swooped up.
Right, I mean, it frees them from the confines of having to fight lawsuits and gives them the freedom to concentrate and focus on making, you know, and the whole thing about Google, the whole thing about Android that people liked was that it was so open source and you could do anything with it. You could have any kind of hardware you want. But that's also kind of a downside because there have been sort of not so good hardware coming from the Android side. And I think this is a way for Google to sort of, I mean, who knows, right? Maybe this could be a chance for Google to give their mark and say, this is what we want our hardware to be like. And this is how we want everyone to sort of, you know, make an example of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that leads right into kind of a question that I know I had early on, and then I've seen a lot of journalists kind of debunk this as the day progressed. It's funny how things change in literally less than 12 hours. Mm-hmm. But my thought when I first read this was, wow, okay, so the next Nexus phone is going to be Motorola, duh, like or you know, very very soon. But Google has been very clear, or attempted to be very clear, in the fact that they're not necessarily buying Motorola Mobility because they want to start, you know, kind of making the calls within Motorola. Which points even more to the fact that they're buying them for the patents. But they really want Motorola Mobility to kind of stand on its own two feet and, you know, kind of, for lack of better words, get in line with the rest of everybody else, right? Like, I mean, they don't want to. Well, I guess my question is that smart of them, if they have this bargaining chip in owning Motorola, to then kind of stranglehold it a little bit and say, no, we've got to kind of sprinkle this around to the rest of the developer or the manufacturers?
And I think, you know, it's definitely, I mean, I do agree that it does, you know, give Motorola a little bit of an advantage, because, you know, everyone said, you know, won't HTC and Samsung be jealous of Motorola? Like, aren't they kind of left out? And, you know, there have been some conflicting statements. I think I've seen a couple of statements that they're actually happy that,
I saw that too. I was kind of surprised.
Well, doesn't this take away the possible patent? Like, if HTC or Samsung use a technology that is patented by Motorola, can't Google be like, all right, you're cool, go use it and license it very easily? You know, doesn't it help bolster everyone?
One hopes, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And it is funny, speaking of some of the other, other companies that are kind of commenting about all this, if you take a look at all of the different comments that they made this morning, it's obvious that there was some sort of kind of collaboration, for lack of a better word.
Some of it is the same language.
Well, of course, when you have a $12 billion deal, PR is a huge part of it. It's like they're going to make sure that everyone, all of Google's partners are going to be on the same page as far as what, you know, because they're anticipating those questions. So, of course, the HTC and Samsung must have known about this. No one must have been surprised by it on the inside. Mm-hmm. And when it comes out, everyone's got to be in lockstep because this is a big play for Android, period.
No, but I'm just saying the same exact language.
Yeah, like down to each individual
the
word.
First sentence.
Samsung saying, "We welcome today's news, which demonstrates Google's deep commitment to defending Android and its partners in the ecosystem." HTC says, "We welcome the news of today's acquisition, which demonstrates that Google is deeply committed to defending Android, its partners, and the entire ecosystem."
I honestly look at that and go, "Do they really welcome it? Are they really just jealous?
You better welcome this.
I'm just,
I think they have. Absolutely should if they don't welcome this, because it's obvious that Google, I think what this does is this shows that Google's willing to put their money where their mouth is. Mm-hmm. And for the last few months with all this patent stuff that's been going on, and you kind of scratch your head when the big patent buyout didn't happen, and you're like, well, does Google care then if they're willing to kind of give up? And now they're paying more for Motorola
than
they would have for Nortel. It'll be interesting to see if that's a better, if this is a better fit than the Nortel would have been. I guess from the fact that they're not sharing these patents with everybody and that they now own them and control them, then it must be better that way.
I mean, this is a necessary move, right? I mean, if you just look at it overall, they had to do this. Am I excited that it was Motorola? Kind of not for me. I'm not the biggest Motorola fan, but, they need some patents in their portfolio, period. So would I have been more excited if it was another company that I'm a little bit more in tune with, or maybe it's even doing better?
Would you have been more excited if it was a company like HTC?
And Samsung.
That's right.
But if you look at those two companies, Samsung has an enormous consumer electronics business, period, not just phones. I mean, Samsung makes all those other products. So they're not going to buy Samsung. You look at HTC. I agree. I'm pro HTC. That was my first, real smartphone. I really like their design. I really like what they do. They're the upstarts. They're in Asia. They're the ones getting hit with all these patent lawsuits because they're being somewhat new. So that's not really a good investment, really. A company like Motorola has this long legacy, 17,000 patents. That's a business in and of itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of me also thinks it's a natural match. I mean, you think about it. The Motorola Droid was the phone that, that catapulted Android to the mainstream. It kind of it's sort of a nice, it fits nice somehow,
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the Motorola Droid it was the phone that I bought into Android. Yeah. But it was really kind of the marquee device that came out that really made people, if they hadn't noticed Android before.
It definitely set itself up as the anti-iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't want an iPhone, this is the phone to get.
Well, it was the first major marketing push behind Android as a platform. I mean, Verizon, they did TV commercials, they did all this stuff, and it was around being a droid, and it really got Android into the vernacular of the public. And so, yeah, it's a pretty big thing. I'm not in love with Motorola's phones as they are. I think the droids have always been too heavy and bulky and all that sort of stuff. But who knows? Maybe now Google can throw their weight around, get some UI people in, get some designers in, and maybe we'll get the best phones we've ever seen coming out of this deal.
It remains to be seen.
There's also talk about the set-top boxes and cable and how Motorola has a foothold in the cable business. And, is this going to help Google TV? Possibly. I don't know. I mean, that would make you happy, right, Ron?
I love my Google TV.
Help them out, man.
I guess it's possible that could happen, and I wouldn't necessarily rule it out from what I've read, but it's kind of hard when you think about the fact that the set-top boxes that these cable companies are getting from Motorola don't necessarily compete against the cable companies themselves, whereas the technology behind Google TV has the potential of doing that. So, is your cable company going to come out with a set-top box, branded with Google Motorola that has Google TV built into it? Maybe it's a stripped back version of Google TV, which, are people really going to want that anyways?
No.
I don't know. I mean, at some point there's got to be some sort of cross use there, but I don't know.
I do think it's a possibility. I just feel like their focus is on mobile.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I think whatever changes they're going to make the setup is going to be like way in the back burner.
Yeah,
this is what I'm thinking.
Actually, when you think about it, so the first couple of years the push was Android on a phone, and then this year they've really focused on tablets. Who knows? Maybe in a couple of years their push it's a stretch. Maybe it'll be on Google TV. They feel like they need to shore up attention on that. Now going back to kind of the Motorola brand itself, and just the fact that I'm sure we're not the only ones that would say that Motorola devices aren't necessarily always the sexiest devices out there. That brings us right to a part of those devices that at least paints my opinion on Motorola, and that's Moto Blur. Do we think maybe there's a possibility that these phones can be released without Moto Blur, or at least given the option of a vanilla experience?
That would rock.
That would be awesome. I don't know if I trust that will happen though with the independence that Google is giving Motorola.
That has really more to do with the carriers, I feel, because if you notice a lot of prepaid Android phones, mm-hmm. the prepaid Android phones don't have a lot of skins or interfaces on them, because the prepaid carriers generally they have less say about that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas I do feel like the big four, like Verizon and Sprint, all of those, they seem to be have a lot more power, a lot more say about the skins and experiences. I mean, hopefully Moto Blur, you know, I don't know. I have to say I'm with you, Jason. Like, the whole Moto Blur experience kind of leaves me cold. Yeah. And as long as they give the at least the option of like turning it off or some kind of option, like, you know, reset the switch or something.
Well, you got to. I mean, Jason, you said that you know Google's going to keep Motorola autonomous, so they just want to bolster them to be to be the company they can be. You know that they're going to be like, yeah, you're on your own. But that Moto Blur thing, that's got to go. And actually, we'd rather see it go in this direction. They're going to be pulling strings from behind the scenes, and I can't imagine the core Android development team likes Moto Blur. They're like us. So I wouldn't be surprised if Google does exert some behind-the-scenes pressure.
Yeah, I guess it remains to be seen how long it's going to take before that happens. And I mean, mind you, this hasn't even been, you know, cleared. There's the possibility that wouldn't be cleared, although I kind of find that hard to believe. I don't personally look at this and think monopoly in any way, shape, or form. Like, there are plenty of other competitors out there.
$12 billion is a lot of money. Like, can you imagine? Yeah. Like, I've worked in PR for several companies. Like, I've worked in marketing and PR for several companies, and I've had the right press releases and blog posts. Imagine sitting down and writing this blog post. It's like, we just spent $12 billion. Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it'll be, but I don't see any real regulatory commission problems, especially considering what, you know, after the Nortel patent and all stuff like that. This is just competition.
Just a couple of quotes from the Google leaders. Larry Page, in a blog post today, says, "Our acquisition of Motorola will increase competition by strengthening Google's patent portfolio, which will enable us to better protect Android from anti-competitive threats from Microsoft, Apple, and other companies," pointing that out specifically. Also says, "I look forward to welcoming Motorolans to our family
Motorolans.
Of Googlers, Motorolans and Googlers."
Motorolans.
So Eileen, are you a Samsungian?
Samsungite. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't that sound like we're just from different planets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
From the planet of Samsungite or whatever.
HTC. Nothing really works with HTC.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's like a star. It's like the stars at the classifications.
It's a constellation.
Yeah. And then also from our beloved Andy Rubin, do you have our video here? What would Andy say?
Our continuing segment, fan favorite, What Would Andy Say?
Andy says, "Our vision for Android is unchanged, and Google remains firmly committed to Android as an open platform and a vibrant open source community. We will continue to work with all our valued Android partners to develop and distribute innovative Android power devices. Please do so. Andy, thank you.
Andy sounds a lot like you, Eileen.
I know. Isn't that weird?
It's very strange.
That's probably why I like
it. We
got to
get him on the show for an interview and see how weird that is.
I don't understand if we do that to make fun of him or like, he's like a nice guy. It's just like he didn't say anything particularly. I would have said that.
That's a really good point. Why do we do
that? He's an Android guy. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be
only,
like our
listeners.
The audio listeners don't know.
That's true.
But anyways, that's our way of paying homage.
That's right.
To
we
him,
like
right?
it, Andy.
We
don't
like
worry
him
about
it. There's no offense there. We're not trying. We want. We. Anyways, he's our kind of Android leader.
He stopped listening. It's okay.
He doesn't care
anymore.
We can probably continue.
All right. So that's Google and Motorola. I would imagine at the end of the year, if we happen to do the biggest
stories
of Android this year, this will probably be near the top.
It's
a big deal. I'm really, really curious to see how this pans out through the next couple of months, and definitely through the end of the year, to see how it starts to affect kind of devices on the other end and the patent wars. So,
and I think at the end of the year, maybe this will also be another story on our list of top Android stories of the year, right, Ron?
Yes. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this whole news is definitely overshadowing the news that broke late last week and the past couple of days that Ice Cream Sandwich is looming on the horizon. The uninitiated might know that Google Android team names the operating systems by dessert flavors or dessert types and or sweets. I don't know if desserts, whatever.
Desserts. Yeah.
So the next version is called Ice Cream Sandwich, and this one's a big one because this is the one that's going to unify the platform to be one operating system for tablets and phones. So no more fragmentation, no more Honeycomb versus the other, you know, the what's Froyo. And right there, skip on gingerbread.
That's right. Yeah.
Hard to keep track of these letters. have you noticed if you're playing at home, they're alphabetical? So we had Honeycomb, now Ice Cream Sandwich. Yeah, there you go. Look at that.
And then
so,
next is Jell-O. I'm sorry.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah. So I feel like that's copyrighted. Can that be?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a brand.
Yeah.
Jelly anyway, donut. Okay.
Jelly?
But we're starting to see tidbits of news about Ice Cream Sandwich. Some screenshots were leaked, early screens of Ice Cream Sandwich, so you can get a feel for what it looks like, what some of the differences in the UI are going to be. They're starting to be come up in the wild. If you know anybody who works at Google, that's always a good way to find out, to check this out in person. They're normally carrying it on themselves.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's hard when you look at some of these screens to really tell exactly what's different, because it seems like there are elements that are still shared from, you know, gingerbread. Or Froyo.
Yeah. There are things that the screens don't show. Like supposedly there's going to be a brand new launcher and app drawer, which that screen shows kind of what it kind of looks like.
Right down in the corner there.
Yeah, it's
Everything's blacked out on all these images.
I know.
But apparently Gmail is going to be totally rethemed to go along with the new OS. So it's going to look in theme. And then mainly it's going to be for the older devices. They're going to notice a lot of UI changes, and the older devices should be able to run it, which is exciting for them. But it was also interesting because news, you know, okay, so we're seeing screenshots. We know Ice Cream Sandwich is coming. When is it coming? And the news is that they might first devices might launch as early as October, because rumor has it that Google's getting nervous because the combination of the folks across the street over at Apple are probably going to launch the iPhone 5 in September. That's relatively that's one of the worst kept rumors, I think, in the industry. And then also, which is an interesting fact, which I don't know how much I take credence of, but apparently a lot of the original Droid 2-year contracts, the majority, they launched in the fall 2 years ago, and they're coming up.
Yeah,
no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and so they're worried about people who were Droid owners. Their contract is up. They go to the store, and oh, there's the iPhone 5. So they want to counteract that with the latest and greatest Android.
That's a really
good
point.
But you just don't want them to rush it, right? I mean, they rushed out Honeycomb, and that's the big fear. It's like, just get it right. Get it, do it well, get it right the first time, you know? It's better to do it that way than rush it and everybody's like, what is this?
That was my biggest fear when I heard this news last week, because it was like, they're going to rush it to get out in October to meet the iPhone. I'm like, no, do this one right. Don't blow this one. Like, hopefully they've been, not that they blew Honeycomb. I don't really think they blew Honeycomb, but admittedly they did rush it a little.
It wasn't polished enough, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully they're at a point where they're just fine tuning and they're ready. And this is they were going to do this anyway. That's what I kind of, the optimistic part of me tells me that this is all part of the plan. Sure.
Yeah. There's rumors now that the iPhone 5 will come out in October.
All this tells me, like, the fact that an Ice Cream Sandwich phone is coming out in October, this just tells me that there is no reason. Everybody, all the manufacturers are there. There is no reason for you to come up with an Android Froyo phone right now. There is no reason.
Thank you. Everything has to be gingerbread.
2.3, at least gingerbread.
There's no reason
for a 2.2 Froyo phone anymore.
What was the phone that came out maybe three weeks ago and it was Froyo?
Nicole is done. She's seen all of these phones.
Like, hit like her hot button. This is what
she's like, I'm sick of reviewing phones with Froyo. I'm sick of it. Stop it now. It's over.
Well, the reason I was so upset because very recently I reviewed a phone that 2.1 on it, and it was just ridiculous.
Did it really upset you? Like, did you go home and you're just like, I can't believe it had 2.1 on it. This ruined my day.
It's like our. Never mind.
Anyway, whatever.
Archaic
just
now.
Everybody, get on board the gingerbread train.
Wow.
All the way to ice cream sandwich. That's what I'm saying.
I'm completely motivated. I want to go buy 5 gingerbread phones now. I'm totally inspired by your energy, Nicole. I love it.
right.
Oh, I hope they don't blow it.
Well,
just don't blow it. Please don't blow
please,
it.
Please, for Nicole's sake, Google, don't blow it.
All right. Well, let's move on to an email. We do have an email here. You can send us an email, aaa@twit.tv, if you like, or send us a voicemail, actually, 347-SHOW-AAA. We have a voicemail coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll play that. First of all, this is from Charlene, who writes in to say, I'd like to see a review of contact info apps. Funny you should mention it, because that's what today's show is all about. Well, it will be when we get to the app segment. But particularly about ones that bypass the lock screen. For instance, if I lost my phone, I'd like someone to be able to contact me to let me know they found it. Email, husband's cell phone number, etc., that type of stuff. Also, it'd be useful for including in case of emergency contact in medical info. A mechanic once left his BlackBerry in my car on Friday and had to wait until they opened on Monday for me to return it because there was no way for me to bypass his password to find out how to contact him. No excuse in this case, as the BlackBerry natively allows you to include the info on the lock screen. I don't think Android natively allows you to do that, but there are a number of ways that you can do that. I actually did put a call out, as I like to do, on Google Plus and got a number of replies, but just a few that I picked out from there. Widget Locker is a very popular kind of way to add widgets to your lock screen, and among other things, it allows you to add ICE or in case of emergency info to your lock screen. If you're rooting, Cyanogen Mod 6 and above allows you to add text to your lock screen. A lot of people said, well, why not just make an image, like a background image that has that information burned into it, so you always see it no matter what. AVG Antivirus allows you to edit owner and info text on the lock screen. This was just kind of a problem that had never really occurred to me. If you password protect, lock down your phone, someone finds it and wants to do the right thing, how do they get it back to you if they can't get in there to, you know, get in touch with you? I mean, maybe they return it to the cab, you know, dispatch or whatever. But a few people actually pointed out this, and Eileen, you had mentioned Plan B on our episode a few weeks ago when we were talking about losing your phone.
Yeah, we never talked about Plan B, but because it's related to Lookout, I just said, oh, by the way, other people had mentioned that they use Plan B.
Mm-hmm. But this is really cool. If you have no protection whatsoever installed on your phone for if it gets stolen, what you can do is you can actually, because if you log into the website, into the Android Market website, you can actually trigger an app to be installed on a phone, right? Mm-hmm. So Plan B allows you to, dang, you know, so my phone is lost. You go to the website, you install Plan B, and it automatically installs on your phone, and it will actually, what does it do? It starts to send your phone's location to your Gmail address so you can track it down. It just automatically, once it's installed, starts to work, and it links up to your main Gmail on your phone. It's just kind of a really interesting way, kind of a good way to kind of back yourself up if you didn't do the planning ahead of time. I imagine after this happens, you then do the planning ahead of time.
Right.
once you get the phone back.
Just plan. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so I thought that was good information, and thanks for writing in, Charlene. We'll take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors this week. This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. I think most of us have a Squarespace blog here at All About Android. I have to ask, Nicole, do you have you ever used Squarespace?
Yes, I do.
You do have a
Squarespace blog. I do.
Oh. Good.
Nice. Where is that at?
It's unfortunately rarely updated, but I do have one.
Yeah.
It's NicoleLee.net.
And then she's going to it right now. She's like, what did I learn? Right
oh, now. No.
I'm very rarely updated.
July 2009, last post. Oh, no. No, I'm just kidding. I'm the same way. I mean, I have a Squarespace blog, and I absolutely love to use it to kind of house all, you know, music and the podcast stuff that I'm doing and everything. But I don't update it as often as I should.
I do have one. And the thing is, I haven't touched it for months and months and months, and it's still up. You can't say that for a long
time. That is a really good point. Thank you for pointing that out. It stays up. I love a website that buy a service and it stays up. That is really true. Squarespace.com has an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing a website or blog. That's exactly the reason why I signed up for it, because I just don't have the time to figure that stuff out on my own. It's optimized for both beginners, CSS experts, hundreds of design templates that you can choose from if you like, iPhone and iPad apps. We've heard that an Android app is
forthcoming.
It's coming.
So that's around the corner, hopefully soon. Online resources, a special support team to give you help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It has all these like widgets and tools like automatically created. So if you want to add Twitter to your site or anything like that, RSS feeds, all that kind of stuff, it's already has it built in a way that you can just kind of insert the information, do a little tweaking on how you want it to be presented on your page, and you can kind of go with it.
I did a little tweaking last night. I actually imported my WordPress blog to my Squarespace blog. Oh, I didn't enable it. I need to enable it. But it happened in literally 3 minutes. It was super, super fast. And then I eileentv.squarespace.com. And then I actually, I took a little bit of time to change the header. I'm going to change it some more. But I just kind of played around with, Photoshop. Oh, nice. And then gave myself a new little header there. Kind of looks, I don't know. It's very sparse. I need some help.
I like the font work on it.
Thank you.
The font is very whimsical.
That's what I was after. Thank you, Ron, for noticing.
I know you're a big fan of whimsy, so
I am. And look, I put our show. The last episode is the latest entry. You know, it's like so. I'm still playing around with it. If you have any ideas, let me know.
Please. Well, that's the cool thing about Squarespace is you can just kind of get in there and with their controls, just kind of tweak around and play with things. And then when you really like it, then you can push it live. And it's just infinitely customizable in that way. It's just a lot of fun to create with, which I can definitely personally say I didn't think that about using Dreamweaver to hand, to like do a WYSIWYG editor and then hand code parts of it. It just wasn't my thing. So Squarespace allowed me to kind of create a website easily and very quickly, and it was a lot of fun. So I really, really do recommend it. You can use Squarespace for all of your website needs. You can build it, host it, and update it anytime. And if you want a free trial, go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free account. There's no credit card needed. You can just try it out. Start building a website. You could do it right now. Just hop on there and start creating a site, and you wouldn't have to pay anything for it. And then if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code Android8. Android8, all one word. And you get 10% off for 6 months. So that's squarespace.com. Use the offer code Android8. Get 10% off for 6 months. And that's what we got from Squarespace. Squarespace, thank you so much for sponsoring All About Android and This Week in Tech, the TWiT Network. We are just thrilled to have you on board. So that is that. We might as well move on to hardware.
hardware news that Eileen might be interested in is the Samsung product roadmap got leaked.
Right.
And not only that, but at the top of the list was a sweet looking ice cream sandwich based phone with a 4.65 inch screen. That's like, isn't that borderline a tablet? They're getting big, these screens.
That's a little big. Yeah. A little much.
Yeah.
That's bordering on handbag, not pocket. Handbag territory.
That's right.
It's not pocket. Are your pockets that huge?
Some people have big pockets that I've seen them put their 7-inch Galaxy Tab in their back pocket.
They have literally big pockets, not metaphorical.
Yeah.
They have little big pockets.
I saw that the other day. I was like, oh.
Tablet in the pocket. I didn't know that existed.
Anyway. So if you break down the specs on this one, it's a 4.65 inch screen with a 1280 by 720 resolution, running ice cream sandwich. The only other info that we got from it is that it's going to have a 5 megapixel camera.
That's weird.
So, yeah. That's not only there's other devices mentioned in the roadmap, as well as a couple other pretty cool devices that are also running pretty big, like the Samsung GT i9-220, which talk about exploding pockets.
That's a mouthful there. Yeah. It was right on your tongue.
5.29 inch screen on that one. Can you believe that?
Whoa. What?
That's Dell Streak size, right?
That's neat. Is it?
Isn't it? Close?
5.29? Yeah. That's Dell Streak, kind of.
But then the roadmap gave some more detailed information for another device, the Samsung GT i9-210, and clearly these are all pre-marketing names. But this one's a 4G, 4.5 inch screen with an 8 megapixel camera.
That's more like it.
Yeah, and it's also going to have a 2 megapixel front facing camera. So it looks like Samsung's going big with their next round of phones.
Very nice.
I gotta say, personally, a 4.65 inch screen, I'm a tall guy, got big hands. I don't necessarily think that that's outside of the realm of what I would like. I like the bigger screens. I need the bigger screens. The Motorola Droid typing on that thing, oh my God, it was such a pain in the butt. And the Thunderbolt's better, but I could actually use bigger. So I'd be very curious to use. Well, yeah. So I tried. I played around with this at I/O. I think.
Yeah, I'm giving him my phone. I'm giving him the S2 Samsung Galaxy S2.
So would you go 5.29 inches?
That's pretty big. You know what? I reserve judgment until I have it in my hands and use it, because I might use it and be like, you know what? This is totally worth it. Yeah. You know, worth
the bulk. Yeah, like to me, the interesting thing about bigger screens, though, is not just that it's better for typing. Is I feel like, you know, for reading, for ebooks, they just feel much more like an actual book that you're holding in your hand, like a small little paperback.
Yeah.
You know, and it's for video, it's really great. I just feel like when you get to like 5 inches, that's just like.
Well, that's like, because keep in mind that it's a phone. So it's like, it's almost like holding a paperback book up to your face to make a phone call.
Like, next to your face, there's this giant thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this giant, and it's probably going to be super thin, so that's still cool. But it's like this huge plate up against your face.
I just remember when phones were really cool to be super small.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tony Wang, our TD, actually has the Mini, the Sony Mini as his
new Xperia
phone.
The Xperia Mini,
Ooh, the kind of tiny one. You couldn't do that?
No, I could not do that. That's too small for me.
What's really funny is that, like, when the iPhone 4 came out, I remember I was shocked because I was like, that's really small. Like, I thought the screen was small, and I was comparing it. Remember, Eileen, I think you and I were having this conversation once. Yeah. We were comparing it to my Android-based phone, and I was like, iPhone's too small for me. Like, forget iOS versus Android. The phone itself is too small. I want a little width. I'm trying to use terms that aren't naughty. But anyway, so there you go.
Well, Samsung, I should point out, Webboy, thank you for the reminder in the chat room. Samsung has actually gone on the record and addressed that some of the details in the roadmap are inaccurate. Of course, they're going to come out and
say that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's worth noting, you might not see all of this stuff coming out in the future, or you might. So you
never know. But we do know in the future that on August 29th, Samsung has a big old announcement in New York at 6 p.m. That's 2 weeks from today. And they have two on the bottom of the invitation there. What do you think
Roman
that
numeral
is?
Two.
You know what I think it is? I think it's this phone, everybody. I think it's my phone.
Yeah,
it's coming out.
The background of the invitation is it's a dark night sky with stars glittering in the night sky. Mm-hmm. So it's very galaxy.
Galaxy. Yeah. That's right. Nicole, you're not
trying to be
going
all
to
subtle.
This? Are you going to this?
No, here? I'm not personally, but a few of our colleagues are going to it. And, you know, it's going to be the Galaxy too. I mean, come on. Come on.
But we've talked about, what are they going to do to this phone? I've got the unlocked version. What are they going to, what are the carriers going to do to this phone? Do you think that it's going to get loaded with crap?
Oh, I mean, when the first Galaxy S came to the U.S., like, there were different ones for each carrier. Like, the Verizon had the Samsung Vibrant. I can't remember what the T-Mobile one was. So they all had different flavors of the Galaxy phone for each carrier. And each carrier has their own little... touches to it. And, they always do this thing for Samsung and international phones. But, who knows? Maybe they'll leave one untouched or something. We'll see.
That is the great hope. We shall see.
We shall see. But will it have Beats technology in it? No.
Will it?
No,
I guess not. But apparently your Vigor will.
My Vigor.
The Vigor.
So last Thursday, before the even bigger news of Motorola Google came around, I remember last Wednesday night, it kind of hit the press that HTC was going to have a big announcement in the morning, and everybody was going nuts and wild about what it could possibly be.
Right.
And so that was kind of the big news on people's minds. Well, Thursday, HTC announced that it is investing $300 million into Beats Electronics. Beats Electronics being kind of the audiophile, quote unquote, I put it in air quotes because a lot of audiophiles might not necessarily agree, but the audiophiles brand.
It's like the consumer audiophile.
Yes,
like for consumers who want to be audiophiles and they want to pay a lot of money to have a Dr. Dre branded headphones.
Yeah, and they want to get those that exaggerated kind of bell curve of equalization to make the lows sound really deep and bassy.
Yeah. The funny thing about this announcement, though, was that there was so much hype about this announcement for the event. It's like, HTC has a brand new secret announcement on this day. Everybody stay tuned. And then we were all hoping for, it's going to be a phone, right? It's going to be a phone.
Yeah.
It's going to be a phone. And it's not a phone. It's just like, oh, okay, that's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, this really only matters to us if it actually affects the Android devices that we see coming from HTC in the future. Sure enough, word on the street is, as you said, Eileen, that the HTC Vigor will be the first. I'm going to rename the phone when I get it. Will be the first HTC device to release with Beats technology, whatever that ends up being. I mean, what does that end up being? If a phone has Beats technology in it, does that mean that it's got like a really good EQ? Or I don't really understand what that means.
No, they're going to totally brand it. It's going to be the Dr. Dre phone. It's going to be the Beats phone, and it's probably going to come
preloaded with his music.
Yeah, probably. It'll come with the earbuds that are the Beats earbuds, they'll say, oh, this is the best. You know, if you want to listen to music on your phone, this is the phone you need to listen to music on. And
would get an HTC phone if it came with a free pair of Beats earbuds. I mean, that's because the Beats earbuds are pretty cool. But you know, I kind of don't think they will, because those headphones are expensive.
It'll be like a stripped down version that just has, you know, is by name. It's not necessarily the same ones that you would buy for $100 in the store. Be like their own version of them. I don't know. It really kind of, you know, the big talk around this was, is HTC buying kind of the brand, like the hype around the brand, or are they actually kind of making a play in the realm of, okay, Apple is known, you know, the iPhone is known to be a really good music player. So now HTC can battle in the same playground that, you know, they can be
is
a really good music
to
player
it, though,
too.
By branding
I don't
it?
Know. I don't with yeah, with something Beats? As specific as Beats, I don't know. We'll see if that was a good purchase, but that's that. So
all right, and over the weekend, the first 7-inch Android Honeycomb tablet hit stores. It's the A100 powered by a Tegra 2 dual-core processor and 1 gig of RAM. 7-inch screen has a resolution of 1024 by 600 at a 16:9 aspect ratio. It's flash-equipped and can play 1080p video via an external monitor, and it weighs just under a pound and is just under half an inch thick.
So just a little bit bigger than those Samsung phones we were talking about.
Yeah, just a little bit bigger. That's right.
Just a little bit bigger.
Can't you see holding that up to your hand right now?
I guess I just hold it with two
hands. Hello.
A giant phone.
Nicole, have you seen the Acer Iconia Tab A100? Have you seen this yet?
Yeah, we have one in the office.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
You know, my whole thing with 7-inch tablets is that it's definitely one of those markets where you want something smaller than a 10-inch, but you don't want a phone. It's a very weird in between market.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That I just find it a little odd personally, but I do think, you know, having Android Honeycomb 3.2 there, I mean, that's pretty interesting, right? It's kind of cool to have that on the tablet.
Sure. I mean, it's one of the first devices that is using that particular version of Honeycomb. One of the main reasons that version came out was to allow Honeycomb to run on these smaller devices. So
apparently it's very comfortable to grasp and thumb type. So you can do thumb keyboard.
That makes sense.
Thumb keyboarding. That's up your alley, Jason.
that's true.
And just to add, the 8 gig Wi-Fi model is $329.99, and the 16 gig model is $349.99.
All right. Let's get on the horn with Acer and get them to send us some.
Yeah, let's do that.
Please.
Yeah. I'll get right on that.
Hey, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us on the show. And tell everybody where we could find you. Oh, and Ron loves your rant.
Yes, I love your passion.
My passion for gingerbread. So you can check out, I do a podcast every week for CNET with my other cell phone editors at dialedin.cnet.com. And that's where you can find our cell phone podcast.
Ah, yes. I remember Dialed In. I remember board hopping Dialed In.
Yes, you do.
I miss you guys. I do.
Going to make a student is the master joke or something like that. But yeah. The tables have turned.
But thank you so much, Nicole. And we would definitely love to have you back on again one of these days.
Sure.
If you're available.
Very happy to.
Absolutely. We love having you on. Awesome. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
All right. And with that, Well, we've actually got a decent amount of apps to cover, so let's hop right into the apps. All right, I'll go ahead and step up to the plate first here. This is an app that I actually teased last week, I believe. I mentioned it. It's called Boot Manager. It's $2.99 in the App Store. And I won't spend a whole lot of time on it just because the main reason that it's so cool doesn't take a whole lot of time to explain. But it is a root required app. And essentially what it allows you to do is have multiple ROMs stored on your phone and be able to launch between them pretty elegantly. It's a pretty awesome app. It's early stages for it, so I'm sure they're going to do a lot to kind of improve it over time and everything. But what you're looking at here is essentially the main screen. And it allows you to install, let's see here, let's actually go to the installed ROMs. So you have four slots on your SD card onto which you can have different ROMs fully installed. And those are booting off of your SD card. So that's kind of the main thing that Boot Manager allows you to do. Store these. It takes a little bit of time to set them up onto these slots. But once you do, it's pretty, I wouldn't say it's like super duper quick to switch between one to another, but it's a lot quicker than the setup. Like when you install a ROM into one of these slots, it took like 20 minutes to get it done when I set up Purpose Theory up on this top slot. And then you have an additional slot that is your phone. So whatever ROM you had installed in your phone when you first ran Boot Manager, essentially, that's down here. That's my Das Banff Sense 3.0 ROM. So I could hot swap between these and install an additional three ROMs if I wanted to. That's kind of the main gist of this. There isn't really a whole lot to talk about on this. If you've ever ROMed your phone before, you know about how much of kind of a manual kind of process it can be. Not necessarily that it always is, but this just kind of makes it a little bit easier. You don't have to necessarily dedicate yourself to a particular ROM if you want to flash something else. You can just kind of do it more on a temporary basis and swap between the two. Maybe, you know, what I was thinking actually in the terms of this show is maybe one of these slots is my dummy account for All About Android. So if I'm covering an app that has a lot of, you know, personally identifiable information on it, I could have that ROM in there for just that very reason. I switch to it, and then I have, you know, dummy contacts in the contacts app that I use for it. So it'll make doing something like that very handy. It does a lot of other stuff on there as well. You can back up the ROM slots, restore them. You can wipe the data, factory reset, all that kind of stuff, rename your slots. Then it has some extras down at the bottom that are just kind of like maintenance around your system, like cleaning the cache, fixing permissions, all that kind of stuff. But I'd say the real kind of cool stuff that it does is the multiple boot options, and quite frankly, it's been totally worth the $3 for me. I really like it a lot. So if you do a lot of ROMing of your phones, check out Boot Manager in the App Store. I think you'll like it.
Very cool, Jason. That's pretty cool. No wonder you said, hey, I don't need your dummy phone for contacts. Actually, I was like, what? Really?
Actually, this is something that I plan on doing, but it's not something that I'm doing here. It's just that my contacts app doesn't really reveal much.
That's
so
awesome.
It's great for today.
Oh, man. I think he's going to win. Just one other quick app I wanted to talk about. You know, I play a lot of games. And, I saw this actually advertised in the Android Marketplace, front and center. And I wanted to check it out. I checked out the screenshots. The game is called Dragon, Fly! Exclamation point. It's really cute. And when I checked out the screenshots, I thought, boy, that looks really familiar to a very popular iOS game. I'm not going to say what that is because it's not available for Android, so I'm not going to promote it. But Dragonfly is free in the Android App Store, and it is a very simple sort of slide and fly over the hills, and it's a one-touch arcade game, which I think is really fun. I'm not very good at it, but here we go. I've got my finger on the hill, and what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to beat the Mama Dragon before Mama Dragon picks you up. You're the tiny dragon. You're supposed to fly. What you do is you tap the screen, and then you let go so you could fly. Uh-oh, Mama caught up. Mama's not happy. Okay, maybe I'll try again. But that's basically the game. So here you just
tap. So you want to do your jumping at the top of the hills to make sure you get the
physics-based.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess there's a couple of other games that are very similar on G+. Somebody mentioned that Moon Chaser is very similar, and Flying Penguin is also very similar as well. This is the one I've been playing, and I'm hopefully going to get better.
Look at you go. Pop a wheelie.
Woo.
Yeah, dragon.
So this is just, you know, it's a very fun free game in the Android marketplace.
Oh, so you also pick up little things as you go?
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
it gets you more points. And then there's a big leaderboard, and I'm very low in the leader.
It's kind of like a very narrow site.
This is free.
It's free? I'm totally getting this.
Come on, dude. Get up. Get up. Yeah. Anyways, that's Dragon, Fly, exclamation point.
I love that you have to, say the word comma.
I just like to show off some fun free games every once in a while. And Dragon, that one's good.
Fly. I think it's important to point out that there is a comma.
There he goes. Watch him go. Woo!
Yeah, Dragon.
Look at that go.
We don't even need to tell that dragon to fly. It knows.
And he's in the next realm. I think the only complaint I heard was that there was not enough realms. I think that person was probably just a really super cool gamer and, is just good. But they'll probably add.
Yeah.
Whatever. But anyway.
That's always the biggest complaint. Like when X-Construct came out, I was like, I made it through all the first 7 levels. I'm like, I want more. And then they update it and you get more levels.
Yeah, you get more levels. So Dragonfly. I love it.
Dragonfly. Well, speaking of apps, not necessarily apps that you can go and play with now, but rather we got to pour a little out of our alcoholic beverages for the apps that will never be.
The ones that we never make.
The ones that we never made. Yeah, exactly. We always said we would, but we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. You might have heard the tragic news in my mind. What I think one of the biggest tragedies of technology today that Google is they announced on July 20th that Google is phasing out Google Labs. So they're focusing and prioritizing their efforts, and just they're completely shutting down the whole Google Labs thing, which is one of my favorite parts of Google. But part of shutting down Google Labs means that the app inventor for Android project is being shut down as well. Now, the good news is that it's going to continue on in open source. So they're releasing the code out into the wild. So maybe it could have a future.
Yeah.
But as of right now, as a function of Google Labs and something that's sponsored by Google, that's coming to an end over the next 90 days.
So if
you haven't gotten App Inventor yet, go to I think we're gonna put a link in the show notes, right? Maybe.
Yep.
Sure. Go get App Inventor for Android before it goes away and you can't find it in the open source world. And Google, I'm disappointed. I missed the labs. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, the labs were pretty cool.
I gotta tell you, the labs saved my butt. The labs in Gmail and in the calendar, like the Google calendar steals focus when a meeting happens. And there's a Google Labs thing that turns that off. So I was like, yes. So I'm hoping that doesn't go away either, but we'll see.
I think that they're keeping labs in certain parts. It's just their overall lab that creates things
initiative.
Like App Inventor and stuff like that. Yeah. But in mail, I don't think they're not getting rid of labs in mail.
Yeah. Okay, good.
For one thing. So you're okay there.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. I'm looking on the Google blog. It says, we don't have any plans to change in-product experimentation like Gmail labs or Maps labs. So, yeah.
Keep that focus, Ron.
Thank you, Bill Cogren, SVP of Research and Systems Infrastructure. Cool. Appreciate it.
Right on. Well, that's a bummer. We had long-standing plans that we were going to do a contest around App Inventor.
In the summer.
And put out a challenge and with a deadline and an award.
One,
we went ahead and didn't do that for some reason.
And now
we knew it was going to shut down. We had a feeling that this was too good to be true.
We knew.
It was in the cards. All right. Well, let's take a quick break before moving to our apps. And, you know what? No.
No?
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do an email instead.
All right, let's do an email.
I'm going to do that.
Crazy.
I was too ahead of myself here. Joshua Caleb, a fan of the show, and he's contributed. You know, when we did the mail segment drop, he was the one that created that. Unfortunately, we don't play it anymore because of our format. But anyways, he's very active. He says, I got a Droid Incredible last fall. And after having major software issues with Sense, I rooted and flashed CyanogenMod. Everything ran beautifully until I flashed the nightlies every other day. That might have something to do with it. Each time a new nightly was released, my phone would seize up in a fit of force closes. Every app, whether it was open or not, would force close, including Google's service framework. So I moved off the nightlies and back to stable builds. Everything ran fine. Now, about a month ago, power button on my Droid Incredible broke. Luckily, Verizon was kind enough to replace it with a refurb, even though it was rooted. As soon as I had received and activated the new phone, I quickly rooted and flashed CyanogenMod 7. Shortly after getting that refurb, the phone has gone into similar fits, only this time it's completely random. Without warning, it will spiral into a fit of force closes, making the entire phone inoperable. Even the phone dialer force closes, so I can't make calls. I've tried everything to fix it, reflashed the ROM, flashed a different ROM, wiped all the data, fixed permissions, uninstalled a bunch of apps. Nothing works, and if it does, only for a short time. Help me, Android crew. You're my only hope. And I don't know if I necessarily have like any sort of like a software fix recommendation for this. I have to imagine that if it started doing this right off the top, A, what you might want to do is, you know, not have a custom ROM installed and try something more along the lines of the stock, just to make sure that the issues are still happening there. Because my guess is if it's happening on everything and has since you got this refurb unit, I don't know, maybe it's something to do with the hardware. I have this like deep-seated distrust for refurb for some reason. I just don't ever trust buying a refurb.
You've never bought or have you ever bought one?
Yes, years ago.
Like a laptop or something?
Years ago,
or?
It was a refurbished computer.
Okay.
I mean, years ago. I realize this is probably a dated thing inside of me.
And you
but
were
I
burned?
Bought a refurbed computer and it was just flawed to all get out. It was a total waste of money. Yeah, I'm like scarred.
Again.
So yeah. I don't trust refurbs, but maybe, I don't know. It sounds like a hardware thing to me. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I know.
I feel
know.
Like whatever you get into the stuff, it's that your mileage may vary, and this is something
exactly.
that can happen. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when you get into the world of flashing your own ROMs and stuff like that, it just adds a whole other layer of unknown there. So if you can flash something that's a little bit more like the stock that it came installed with it initially, and see if it's doing it then. And if it is, then you're pretty certain that it's not the ROMs that you're flashing. It's, you know, possibly the phone itself. And maybe they'll give you another one. But isn't it time to upgrade? Get yourself a new phone.
There you go. Look at
there you
that.
Go. Wow.
You're fresher.
Look at, Mr. I got a new phone now.
Mr. I didn't even get my own new phone. I got my wife's new phone and I'm using that for now. Yeah, I realize I have no room to talk. All right, just real quick, this episode is brought to you by Netflix. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly. You can go to Netflix.com if you have an account, or you can watch it on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii, on your computer, on your Android phone, on your iPhone, iPad, whatever. They've got apps on everything, and you can go and watch instant streaming movies, TV shows, all that kind of stuff. They've got so much good content there. And you can begin watching on one device, and you can finish watching on another. So it's a pretty cool way to kind of transfer your media from one place to another. Whichever you want, you can watch as many as you want, as many times as you want, at any time that you want. You can cancel any time. So try Netflix today for 30 days free. Go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use this URL when you sign up for your free trial. It's netflix.com/twit. And we thank Netflix for their continuing support of Twit and All About Android. And we hope you enjoy watching instantly with Netflix.
Hey.
Dang it, our Wi-Fi, I wanted to show Night of the Comet streaming, but
anyways, Night of the Comet.
That's a good one, right?
That's a, yes, I remember that film.
Oldie but goodie.
I was
Tony,
a fan
I
of that.
Can't show it right now, but yeah, I have it.
But you can look at the app.
Oh, yeah, you could look at the app. There we go. So there's the app. There's Night of the Comet I was trying to
That's a good movie. That stands the test of time, by the way. That's
top
one of those
10.
80s movies that
okay.
you may fear going into it, but it's actually pretty good still.
Top 10 for me, apparently, Dead Like Me, which I
don't Backyardigans,
which I don't know anything about, and The X-Files. Interesting. Those are the top three for me. And I like their suggested every once in a while, although
totally. I find a lot.
Yeah, I love when these sites try to assume
apparently.
They know me.
Yeah, Weeds apparently, Roswell, which is actually in my queue. I just haven't had time. Go Diego. Okay, the reason why Go Diego Go and Dora is
Dora.
On my queue is because I was watching with my friend's kid like 10 episodes of I can't remember now what it was, and so now I've got all
you're
these.
You're just like looking for Boots.
I guess so. Blues Clues. I don't even know what that is. Oh, but Sherlock.
Blues Clues.
Ugh, I've recommended this before. Masterpiece, from BBC Sherlock. Oh, I can't wait till they're back. But anyways.
I used to watch Blues Clues before I went to class senior year of college, like at 9 a.m.
Did
on Nickelodeon.
You really?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend and my roommate would just sit there like it's 9 a.m. We're exhausted. We just sit there like dumbfounded watching Blue's Clues. And we'd yell at the TV like, we see it, we see it.
What is Blue's Clues?
It's a kid show. It's a
No, I know, actually, but what is the – is there's a story, right?
We are going to say – No, there's no story. It's a dude and his dog. And
okay,
what
already I like it. There's a dog.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't believe we're watching Blue's Clues on All About Android right now.
There's a mystery. There's a game where they need to figure something out. And so Steve, the guy in the striped shirt.
Oh, that guy there. Okay.
Yeah, gives clues. He gives clues to Blue, and then Blue has to find whatever they're looking for.
Oh.
So, yeah. And you put your clues in your handy-dandy notebook. And wow, we should move on.
Okay. Yeah, we should move on. You know, what better way to balance out the fluffy clouds of Blue's Clues by stepping into the Android arena?
Two enter, one lives. Android arena.
My fault for the tangent. Sorry.
I just want to watch Blue's Clues now.
I know. Okay.
It's only going to be another 15 minutes and you'll be able to watch your Blue's Clues. All right. But until then, we've got a show to do. All right. Last week in the arena, we did favorite SMS apps.
That's right.
And we all stumbled over the fact that we were revealing too much data. It took me a while to edit.
Oh, my God.
Thankfully, I got it all out of there.
So I have a postscript to this, by the way.
Oh, really?
You do?
That literally, like, like 2 days after we recorded this episode, Chomp upgraded their app, and it's, like, a million times better.
Well, Ron, too bad that didn't happen the day before.
I failed here again.
Because you...
That happens to you all the time. That happened to Skype the week before.
It's like they're watching.
According to the poll results, I am huge in Indiana. So... That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got a couple of locations there.
Nebraska
this new vote polling system, by the way, is really cool. It shows you a map right now only of the U.S. I wish it was more worldwide. You could see other maps, but shows you of the U.S. and all the states broken down and how you know what the winner is in each state. But overall, Go SMS Pro wins with 45% of votes. Hand-sent SMS, which I spelled wrong, comes in second at 36%, and Chomp SMS with 19%. And actually, if you go to this, look at last week's show notes, but you can see all the comments from different people, which is kind of the cool thing about this system. And you can see a lot of other things in there as well. Desk cool, SMS, there's a few other things in there. So you can go read through it and see what other people liked that weren't part of our poll.
I'd like to thank the Pacific Northwest and Texas and Arkansas. Boy, this is, Illinois. Yeah, there are tons. Massachusetts. Oh, New York didn't go for me that long.
Oklahoma, I'm coming. I'm coming, Oklahoma. Let's go. We're going to send text messages and we're going to run away and we're going to get tacos and it's going to be awesome. All right, let's do it, Oklahoma.
God, you in Oklahoma. You're always running off getting tacos.
All right. You've got Maine, too.
Good lobster. I'll be honest with you. I could do without Maine.
Whoa.
Maine if you want.
I'll take Maine. Maine, I love you.
I'm not a Mainist, okay?
Wicked.
Okay, so this week, we might as well set this off with a voicemail because I think the voicemail is a great question around the apps that we're going to be covering. Here, hold on. I'll play it here just so that I can hear it again and people can hear it.
Hi, this is Michael from Fresno. I have a question for the podcast. I have a T-Mobile MyTouch 4G. Do you know if there's a way to make the font bigger in the information section of your contacts? The information in contacts has a very small font and is difficult to read. Any help would be great. By the way, your podcast is great. Thanks again. Bye.
Thanks, Mike.
The rules around this Android arena is whoever's app has the biggest font?
Oh, man.
Yep. You didn't know, did you?
I might have a winner.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I decided that was a kind of a good way to frame this week's app topic, which are contact replacement apps, because though I don't know if I have a specific fix for the font size issue, Michael, on your T-Mobile MyTouch 4G, I'm pretty sure that one of these apps that we'll cover in this segment might actually do it just by definition, by the fact that they're different looking contacts apps. So I realize it's kind of changing a large part of what you're used to for requests so small, but who knows? Maybe you'll like what we cover here. So I'll go ahead and start with mine. Mine is actually
I'll just go ahead and say right off the top, I really like it a lot. I did not expect to come out at the end of this, you know, wanting to use something other than stock, because I'm just so used to using stock and I've never used a contacts replacement app before. But this is really great. It's called Contapps, Contapps, all one word, Contapps. And it actually has two apps built into it. It has the dialer, which is what I have loaded into my dock. And then it also has just like something that takes you right directly to your contacts. So it has the dialer interface, and then it also has kind of your contacts specifically. So go down here. One of the first things that it allows you to do that I really enjoy using, that I got it specifically for, is groups, essentially. It's a little hard to see because there are so many groups listed here, exactly which account each group comes from. And that's maybe one of my few complaints with this, is that if you have, as I do, two or three different Gmails syncing to your phone, and they each have their own kind of groups within contacts, within your Google contacts, there's no real way to determine which stored in starred in Android group this is versus the other starred in Android groups that are littered through, or this, what is it, my contacts versus another my contacts that's elsewhere right there. I know, though, that the top row are my All About Android contacts, so I'll just keep it with that. But you can essentially filter your contact list based on these groups that you've made within Google Contacts. So that makes it very powerful if you have a lot of contacts and you don't want to have to look at all of them all the time. So I could just go through and highlight, you know, any of these that I want to add to the list. It also has your standard kind of favorites, if that's how you want to filter your contacts, through just the things that you've starred and all that kind of stuff. Or you can show it all. And what you'll see right away is that it does away with a little bit of that dead space on the right-hand side. Essentially, contacts are represented by large kind of thumbnail images for each of your contacts. And another thing that this allowed me to do, if you go into settings, and this is something that I really had been wanting to do with the stock contacts app, and I believe we talked about it last week, is that a lot of the contacts that were in my contacts list, though I know they had Facebook accounts and though I know that I was synced, those images didn't show up. Contacts can actually allow you to force that sync from your different social services. So if I have that checked, it will automatically go through and it will do its own rendering of those images. The downside that I've seen is that it ends up doing this kind of side on the sides letterboxing. I'm not really quite sure why it does that. I guess it's just not stretching the image to fit the confines of the box. Instead, it's kind of taking the image at its full size and just giving you the letterbox. But that's a very minor issue for me. I mean, just because of the sheer number of these images that appeared, whereas before they didn't. So really happy about that. I'll go back into groups and just pull up the AAA. So as you can see, I've got some really cool friends. Brock Lesnar, Dude Lebowski, Jon Stewart, Madonna, Mila Kunis. They're all close to me. They're my bros and my broettes. I'm not going to say what I actually think dudettes. The other one is. Yeah, dudettes. But anyways, what you'll also notice is that the Dude Lebowski, has a little splashy thing going on around around his image.
Fancy.
That happens to be a cake because his birthday is today. So what it does is this app actually will highlight for you when it's somebody's birthday.
Happy birthday, Dude Lebowski.
And it also has a little notification up here that pops up on that day, and it says, it's Dude Lebowski's birthday. So I thought that was kind of neat. So what you can do within there, actually, you know what, I'll use Jon Stewart because we're a little bit closer than the dude. So you've got all of your information here on this page, and you know, you can do your typical things. I could send him an email. I could send him a text message, call him. I could find him on a map. If I click that, it's tied into Google Maps, and hopefully my 3G is good enough to pull up this fake address that I pulled and put in there. But so it gives you your map. If you have any sort of social plugins, and I'll get to that in a second, they're called taps in this app. But if you have any of those associated, then you have this little social stream that's part of the contact screen, and it will pull in, I believe, the latest update from all the different services. In this case, all I could find Jon Stewart on was Twitter, so it has his latest Twitter update. You can pull in Facebook, which I don't have Jon Stewart on Facebook, so I can't show that to you. You can pull in Twitter, which, as you can see, it has the whole Twitter feed in here. I'm not really sure that I would necessarily go in here to use Twitter, but it's nice to know that it kind of, while it's using the sync with Twitter to do things like pull in images and stuff like that, it's nice to know that it also gives you access to that information if you want. LinkedIn is another one. I wish I was LinkedIn to Jon Stewart. That would be pretty cool. But I'm not. So it gives you all that information on your contacts page. And in addition, if I go to settings, you can also add other taps, like Google it. So I could, you know, have that on there and Google, I believe, anything from the contact. I haven't used that one. Foursquare, if you want to associate that. And I think that also ties into the map functionality. But yeah, it's just kind of, it covers a lot more than just your contacts, and not in an intrusive way where you're like, yeah, well, I'm never going to use that. It's actually somewhat useful. If I came here to find information about Jon Stewart, I might be tempted to be like, oh, well, what did he say last on you know, Twitter? Because it's just so easy to switch over and see. What am I leaving out? I think I've covered most of it. Let's see here.
It does a lot, Jason.
It does do a lot, especially for a contacts app. Mm-hmm. You can have your different sorting options, so you can sort it, you know, alphabetically. For your frequently called, which, you know, I call Dude Lebowski a good amount, so he's at the top. And then you can, you know, sort by recent, the most recent contact. And it also has this. So let me activate group. And I will add coworkers in here. Because we're all, you know, Twit people, so. And it's just names anyways. So if I wanted to do a jester search, I could hit this and go M, and it'll pull up all my M's, and I didn't have good luck with this one earlier. Here, let me try this again. M, I, L, A. Okay, good. There's Mila Kunis. I can give her a call. You know, no big deal. So you can do a little bit of a gesture search as well if you want to. And then the last thing, if you swipe to the left, you get your recent calls list, and you can kind of take a look and everything. If I actually wanted to call somebody, I believe I long press this. Well, no, actually, sorry. I long press their image, and it automatically calls their default number. So that's that. That is ContApps, ContApps. And like I said, I'm surprised. I will probably keep this. I actually really have gotten used to how it treats all that it does, and I like it a lot.
I already like the icon. I'm a fan of penguins, so I like that.
They had you at Icon.
They had me at Icon.
They had you at Penguin. Yeah.
Well, they didn't really have me, though. They didn't really have me because I have my own app. But
Oh. Snap. All right. Well, we might as well move on to your app.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned last week I'm a big Go girl. Go Launcher X, did Go SMS Pro last week, and because you all knew that, you said, hey, Eileen, guess what? There is Go Contacts. So I went ahead and stayed in my own little universe of the Go world. This is free in the Android marketplace, and I've got the dummy phone here, so I don't think I'm going to be showing off any phone numbers that don't need to be shown. First thing you do is you launch, and you can have it either launch to your contacts or to your dial pad. And I'm just going to go over a lot of the settings here. You can merge contacts, which is kind of a little janky. Last night I had on my own personal phone with hundreds of names and phone numbers tried to merge, and then I had to do it a couple times. But it did finally work. So if you have multiple and duplicate contacts, Ron, I had you like five times in my contact list. I don't know why.
Move the place. I can't be stopped.
You can't. So I merged you, and now I have one Ron.
Ooh,
with
yay.
Everything on there. So that was very cool.
One
Ron to unite them all.
We have a lot of the same friends, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, we do. I know. That's kind of cool. You can import or export your contacts from SIM SD card. Let's see. Some of the things, some other settings here. Your contacts account. Like yours, Jason, now it doesn't have Foursquare and LinkedIn, but, you know, you could display your Facebook and Twitter accounts along with whatever's in your SIM, your Google account contacts, of course, and whatever you input onto your phone. And then, you know, basic language settings, display settings. I didn't see Font size here, though, I have to say. I'll say that right now. But your home screen, like I mentioned earlier, you could start it off when you launch the app in contacts or a dial pad or groups or favorites, and I'll get to those in just a little bit. Screen rotation, you can opt to not have pictures. So say you don't want to see your friend's pictures when you look at your contact, fine, you don't have to do that. And then you can sort your contacts, you know, which is nice, by first name, last name. Then there's just some regular dial settings. You can, you know, set up speed dial if you want, vibrate if you want. Then there's backup and recovery, which is always really nice. And then another thing I like to show is just themes, the regular Go themes. Every time I talk about a Go app, you know, I talk about all the different themes.
Yeah, they're big about
yeah, they really are big about the Super Cat theme. I really like. They're not all free. You know, they get when you're in the store, it starts off free, and then you start seeing 99 cents, $1.99, you know, whatever you're fancy. So let's see. Okay, Walter White here is my buddy. And once you long tap, you can see all the different options. You could call, edit before you call, SMS, add to favorites. He's already a favorite. View contact, edit contact, delete contact. I'm going to view him right now. He's my favorite. I put him in teachers. I also starred him. You know, I'm actually, you know, he is my friend. So I'm going to add him right there to another select group. So there you go. There's the groups here. The groups are all along the left column here, and you can, you know, add a new name for you can insert a new group. Should I add, you know, Meth Lab for Walter here? I'll do that on
Yeah,
the fly.
I think you should.
I mean, you know, I'll lock my phone so that next time
that'll be a large group, but
that'll be a large group. But anyways, so let me put him in there. Right, well, I could put him in there, but there, that's easy to do. Favorites, there he is again. And if you want, whoops, no, I don't have this doing that way. This is okay. What I wanted to show you was another sort of cube. Sort of thing, but I think there's two apps. Let me just say that there's a cube transition. This is Go Contacts, and there's also Go Contacts X, which is essentially the same, but then you'll see some other, you could cube transition towards, you know, the dial pad and the contacts and the groups and all of that. So, but that's the basic function of this app. It's free, and you know, there's other things like smart dialing. I don't know. I think it's more simple than your app, Jason. But I think for me, I don't really need too much. I think this does everything that I need it to personally for a, I really like the merge when it works. That function is kind of nice. You can merge by name, by phone number, if you have duplicates, or by email.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And that is Go Contacts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So my turn. Now I'm going to freely admit in this one that I knew nothing about contacts apps. I didn't know what I was looking for. I was totally a blank slate. And I jumped at the first one that sounded like what I'd want. It was called Phonebook 2.0. And it's developed by Voxmobile or on mobile. Look how big those fonts are.
That is big. There you go, Mike.
There you go. We're done. what's interesting is that this one, what Phonebook 2.0 advertises as their advantage, I think, is part of its downfall in that it advertises itself as a contextual address book with links to Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, innovative UI, status post, activity view, birthday reminder. Wow. It's packing in a lot of stuff into your contacts. What it does is that when you open it up for the first time, and this is our phone with all of our, you know, our cool best friends in the world, me and Madonna. But if you were here on my phone seeing my contacts, what it did was it took my Twitter, it took my it didn't take Facebook, it took Gmail. And it took my phone contacts, and when I opened it up for the first time, I had 892 contacts. And I know a lot of people. 892 is not a lot of people. So if you hit that, if you go back to the screen you were just on, they're under all contacts. If you hit that drop down, that lets you filter it out. So you can filter to contacts with phone numbers. Now, here's the thing is that, like, I love the idea of maintaining an address book and being able, you know, but and being able to get to just who my contacts with phone numbers are. I'm not entirely sure I need all 478 people I follow on Twitter on here. Right. But if you're using this application as it's meant to be to replace your posting to Twitter, your posting to Facebook, then they're right there. Everyone you need to know is there. You can add accounts easily. You can add information that writes it right to your Google account. In fact, you can choose what account you're adding it to.
Oh,
really? You can choose whether it's a Google account or you can I was able to do it to just on the phone. Okay. Yeah, so it all depends on how you have it set up. But very similar to the current phone kind of setup with the nice little Tim Burton-esque default avatar there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, if you go back, what you can see is you're looking at your contacts list. It's easy to search using the search button up top. You can search based on number or using the keypad for name. Look how big that font is on the keypad. Just saying, I'm reminding everybody what the key aspect is the font size. So if you go back, actually, and then along the bottom, there are your action buttons. So the one on the left is your status flow. And so basically what that is that this is your activity stream across all the services you have set up. So if you set up – if you're connected to Twitter, if you're connected to Facebook, MySpace randomly, LinkedIn, all the activity stream comes through here as well as birthdays. They really like the fact that they tell you about birthdays. That's like a big thing on this application. And then if you hit the little smiley face button, that's where you can set up and start posting all your status updates. So from here, you can post to Twitter, you can post to Facebook, see there are all the services you can post from. So it's really going beyond the contact management to being your kind of your gateway to the rest of the world. Now, if you back up one more step. And I just closed the app myself, so I need to open it back up again. If you back up one more step, if you hit the little triple dots, the last thing is accessing voicemail, most frequently called, which I thought was kind of cool because it actually shows me how many times I've called my contacts and sorts them by my most frequently called. So I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was as good of friends with that person. Apparently I am. I called them 167 times. Awesome. And then again, it shows you the birthdays. They love showing the birthdays. One drawback to it, if you hit the menu button, I thought, okay, cool. Let me get to the settings so I can customize things, things like that.
Oops, sorry.
There's really, that's your app. Wow, look at that. You're just your app.
Sorry.
So if you hit the menu button, and it pulls up the, all you can do is add.
What am I doing?
There you go. Menu. There you go. All you can do is add a contact. That's all you can do. There's no settings. There's no adjustment. This is a very, very simple app. And I thought it was interesting because they advertise it with the app inside the skin. I don't know if we have the Android Marketplace page or not, but the app is advertised within the skin of one of those phones that they sell at T-Mobile that I would never buy. You know those like white phones with the trackball? You know those really like that?
Oh, that one.
Right? And then I was like, you know, this app isn't for me. This is for like my sister, and this is for somebody who – this is very much the kind of like almost Moto Blur kind of layering kind of app that you would find on a phone that's for like a very middle of the road, you know, the person who lives on Facebook, lives on Twitter, really loves celebrating birthdays. I want to remind everybody it reminds you when birthdays are. So there's a birthday. You see the first one right there, birthday reminder.
it's the biggest sell. Yeah, we should put font on there now.
Too. I know. I was going to say, you know, they have innovative UI, which in tech terms, in layman terms, that's translated as big font. But yeah, so it's really a dead simple app. It took no effort at all to import my contacts. And here, actually, you can see the screenshot of an actual individual contact, which I actually like that screen, the second screen right there on the app screenshots. You can see the person's name. You can see their latest status update. You can easily call them, message them. It controls all your SMS messaging in here. So it's kind of like a one size fits all, does everything application. And there are some little things like about it that I thought was neat, but I thought ultimately for me it was a little too simple. So I don't think I'll be switching to it. And I know I'm not really campaigning very well for you to vote for my app, but I know the people in Oklahoma are going to love this app. So there you go, Oklahoma. Don't let me down. Because it tells you birthdays and the font is huge. So that's
fun. I'm sorry. What was the selling point one more time?
Big font. Big font.
Big font of birthdays. Well, I should reiterate that all three of these apps are free.
Yep.
So
that's right.
You don't have to pay anything for these. So again, that's contapps.com. Go Contacts, and Phonebook 2.0. This week's poll can be found at tinyurl.com/AAApoll21. 21 is the episode number. So tinyurl.com/AAApoll21. And go ahead and vote for your favorite.
Look at Phonebook 2.0 running away.
Yeah, see, it's live. It's changing live in real time. This is great.
I love watching that.
Yeah, it's a cool polling system.
Oh, Oklahoma, so. Where are you?
Contaps getting a whopping zero vote. Oh, there we go. Oh,
there you
all
go.
Right.
That's
a- cool. We could do this all
I'll tell
day.
You, I'm going to predict now Phonebook 2.0 is not going to win. I'm like, I throw this competition all the time. We need to do a app category that I own.
Yeah, yeah, which one would that be, Ron?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to study
dot,
up.
Dot, dot, dot.
No.
All right. Well, we'll have to think about that. Next week, we're going to be doing cloud storage. And not like music cloud storage, because I realize we did that already. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do cloud storage. So, you know, your Dropbox, your mm-hmm. Box.net, those types of apps. So, yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah.
I think.
Let us know what you use.
I think it'll be three strong contenders is the thing.
You can guess what the, yeah. It's pretty obvious.
It'll be a heated battle.
But it's nice to know what else is out there. So feel free to let us know about other apps that you
might if somebody know, I mean, the three obvious ones, if there's one, I mean, make the suggestions because I'd like to find ones that people don't know about yet. So.
Absolutely. We'll see.
But I thought you wanted to win, Ron.
I do want to win, but yeah. I like being the underdog, though. Every now and then, I like taking the one that people don't know about because maybe I'll impress you.
Yeah, and when you come out of the woodwork with something that no one's ever heard of and it still blows them away enough that they vote for it, then you are like supreme winner
that's
of the universe.
A special win.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
you savor like the that victory one. That you just will always have.
You savor that one like you savor a Kona Brewing Company beer.
I think that does
all
it
right.
for our show, right?
That does it. Yeah, let's get Ron out of here. He's got dinner plans. Ron, where can people find you?
Literally texting my dinner plans. So if you can go to about.me/RonXO, you can find all the links to me on Twitter, twitter.com/RonXO, as well as the my day job stuff at Graphically.com and the brand new iFanboy.com, which just launched today, actually. So if you're in a comic book, go check out the new iFanboy.com. Thank
Radical.
You.
Very cool.
Yeah. Eileen!
Well, I kind of live in G+ land lately.
Yeah,
although I've been trying to Twitter a bunch as well. So
I need to add G+ to my About Me page. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, I need to do that also. Yeah, I'm About Me, about.me/Eileen Rose or at Eileen TV on Twitter. And G+, you'll find me there.
It's easy. And I'm about.me/Raygun01. No, you know what? I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm about.me/JasonHell. It was the first. It just made more sense. I don't know. It's confusing.
You, really
you know what? Just go hit me up on Twitter. Raygun01. There. I'm going to end it at that. And that's it for this week. You can send us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email, AAA, at twit.tv. You can hit us up, the show, on Twitter. That's at Android Show. Show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. Have a fantastic week.
Bye.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.